Tax season has arrived, and doing taxes without the right help can feel overwhelming. Intuit TurboTax is here now to guide you through it with confidence. Match with a TurboTax full-service expert who handles everything for you from start to finish. Your dedicated expert checks every single deduction and credit to help you get the best possible outcome so you can feel confident you're getting every dollar you deserve. And the best part? You'll see real-time updates on your expert's progress right on your phone while you live your life. Plus, you get unlimited expert help at no extra cost, even on nights and weekends during tax season. Visit TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Full Service Experts. Real-time updates only on iOS mobile app.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Boto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
It's tax season, and by now, I know we're all a bit tired of numbers. But here's an important one you need to hear. $16 billion. That's how much money in refunds the IRS flagged for possible identity fraud. Here's another one. One in four honest, hardworking, taxpaying Americans has been a victim of identity theft. But it's not all grim news. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock's U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, backed by another good number. The $1 Million Protection Package. In fact, restoration is guaranteed or your money back. Don't face identity theft and financial losses alone. There's strength in numbers with LifeLock Identity Theft Protection for tax season and beyond. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, After Midnight.
The apartment wasn't anything special, which was exactly why she took it. It sat above a small row of shops on a quiet street just outside the center of town, close enough that she could walk to work, but far enough that it didn't feel like she was still living in the middle of everything. After 4 years of dorms and shared spaces that never quite felt permanent, the idea of having a place that was hers, even if she had to split it with someone, felt like the next step she had been waiting for. Marissa moved in the same weekend. They had known each other in college, not close enough to have lived together before, but close enough to trust that it would work. Both of them were starting new jobs, both trying to figure out what life looked like outside of school. And the apartment felt like a clean place to start that transition. For the first few weeks, it was exactly that. They unpacked slowly, filling the space with whatever they had brought with them, which wasn't much. The furniture didn't match, the kitchen was small, and the floors creaked more than either of them liked, but none of that mattered. It felt quiet in a way that was new, and that quiet made it feel like theirs. Nothing stood out at first. If anything had been off in the beginning, it blended in with everything else. The building was old enough that it came with its own sounds, pipes shifting behind the walls, footsteps from somewhere below, the occasional dull thud that could have come from another apartment or the street outside. It was the kind of place where small things didn't draw attention unless you were already looking for them. That was why the first thing they noticed didn't feel important. It was just a glass. A plain water glass. Marissa kept near the sink, mostly out of habit, because she used it often enough that it didn't make sense to put it away after every use. One afternoon, she walked into the kitchen, stopped, and asked if her roommate had moved it to the other side of the counter. The answer came easily without much thought, and for a moment, that seemed like enough. Marissa Marissa looked at the glass, then back at her, and gave a small shrug, as if she had already decided it wasn't worth questioning further. "I must have moved it earlier," she said, more to herself than anything. "That should have been the end of it." A couple of days later, it happened again. This time the glass wasn't just moved across the counter. It was sitting on the small table near the window in the living room, set close to the edge as if someone had placed it there deliberately. Neither of them remembered carrying it out of the kitchen, and when they tried to retrace their steps, the timeline didn't quite line up. Still, it wasn't enough. People forget things all the time. They set something down absentmindedly, walk away, and only realize it later. It wasn't a satisfying explanation, but it was a reasonable one. And reasonable explanations are easy to accept when nothing forces you to look past them. They noticed small things, but not in a way that changed how they lived. A cabinet door left slightly open when it had been closed before. A book that seemed out of place, but not completely unfamiliar. Little inconsistencies that were just noticeable enough to register, but not enough to hold on to. It wasn't until something happened while they were both in the room that it started to feel different. It was a quiet evening, nothing unusual about it. They were both in the living room, half paying attention to a show neither of them really cared about. The kind of background noise that fills space more than it entertains. Marissa had her feet pulled up on the couch, her phone beside her, while her roommate sat in the chair across from her. Later, neither of them could say exactly why their attention shifted at the same time, only that it did, and that was what made the moment feel so clear. The glass, Marissa's glass, the same one that had been moving, was sitting near the edge of the table, untouched. For a second, nothing happened. Then it moved, not quickly, not violently, and not in a way that could be mistaken for tipping or sliding because of an uneven surface. It shifted in a straight line, slow enough that they could follow it, steady enough that it didn't look accidental until it reached the very edge. And then it fell. The sound of it hitting the floor was sharper than it should have been, louder in the quiet room, and neither of them reacted right away. They just sat there, looking at the spot where it had been, then at the pieces on the floor. As if the explanation might appear if they gave it a second, it didn't. Marissa was the first to speak. "You saw that?" It wasn't a question. Her roommate nodded, her attention still fixed on the broken glass, and for a moment, neither of them moved. The room felt exactly the same as it had a minute before. Same lighting, same furniture, same quiet. But something underneath it had shifted in a way that didn't have an easy explanation anymore. Eventually, one of them stood up and picked up the pieces. They didn't talk about it much after that, not because they didn't want to, but because there wasn't anything useful to say. If they tried to explain it, they would end up in the same place they had been before, reaching for something that didn't quite fit. If they didn't explain it, then they had to accept that they had both seen something they couldn't account for. So they let it sit. That night, they left the lights on longer than usual. It wasn't something they planned or discussed. It just happened. The living room stayed lit even after they were done watching television. The kitchen light stayed on as they got ready for bed. And when they finally turned everything off, the apartment felt quieter than it had before. Not silent, just different. Sometime after midnight, a sound came from the kitchen. It was soft, just a faint tap, like something making contact with the counter, followed by a pause that stretched long enough to make it noticeable. Then it came again, slightly louder this time, and then once more, as if something was being moved and set down. Neither of them got up. They lay in their beds, awake, listening, waiting for it to stop or to repeat in a way that made sense. It didn't do either. After a few minutes, the sound simply ended, leaving the apartment exactly as it had been before, quiet and still in a way that felt almost intentional. By morning, there was nothing out of place. The kitchen looked normal. Nothing had been moved, nothing broken, nothing disturbed. If the sound had come from something physical, it hadn't left anything behind to prove it. That should have made it easier to ignore, and instead it did the opposite, because now whatever was happening didn't need to leave evidence. And once that possibility settled in, the apartment didn't feel quite as empty as it had when they moved in. After that night, the apartment didn't feel unfamiliar so much as unreliable. Nothing about it looked different in the daylight. The same sunlight came through the windows, the same sounds drifted up from the street, and the same routine carried them through the day without much interruption. But something about the space had shifted in a way that didn't depend on what they could see, and once that awareness settled in, it stayed there quietly, in the background of everything they did. They didn't talk about the glass again. It wasn't avoidance, exactly. It was more that the moment didn't leave much room for discussion. They had both seen it clearly, and because of that, there wasn't anything to debate or reinterpret later. It simply existed as something that had happened, something that didn't fit, and something they both understood without needing to revisit it. Instead, they adjusted. Lights stayed on longer than they used to, especially in the evenings when the apartment seemed to settle into that quieter, heavier stillness. If one of them got home first, she didn't move through the rooms as freely as before, tending to stay in one place until the other arrived. Even small habits shifted in ways that felt subtle on the surface but carried more intention underneath, like keeping doors slightly ajar instead of closing them completely, or leaving a lamp on in the living room overnight without mentioning it. For a few days, nothing obvious happened. That almost made it worse. The absence of activity didn't feel like relief. It felt like a pause, the kind that stretches just long enough to make you aware of it, as though whatever had happened before hadn't stopped so much as it had stepped back. The next change came in the late afternoon, when they were both home and fully awake. Marissa had been in the kitchen rinsing something in the sink while her roommate sat at the small table near the window with her laptop open, half working and half distracted. There was nothing unusual about the moment. The apartment was quiet in the normal way, filled with small, familiar sounds that belonged to their routine. Then something shifted. It wasn't loud. It was the sound of a chair moving. Both of them heard it clearly, the scrape of wood against the floor coming from the living room, distinct enough that neither of them needed to question it. Marissa turned first, her hand still resting on the edge of the sink, while her roommate looked up from the table at the same time. The living room was empty, but one of the chairs had moved. It wasn't dramatic, and it wasn't across the room. It had shifted only a few inches, angled slightly away from where it had been, as though someone had stood up from it and left it that way. They didn't rush in. They didn't say anything right away. Instead, they stood where they were, looking at it from a distance, both aware that they had heard the movement and that neither of them had caused it. The apartment felt still again, but not in a way that suggested nothing had happened. It felt settled, like something had already finished what it was doing. Marissa stepped into the living room first. She approached the chair slowly, not out of fear exactly, but with the kind of hesitation that comes when you're no longer sure what you're going to find. When she reached it, she placed her hand on the back and nudged it slightly as if testing whether it would move easily, whether there was something about the floor that could explain it. There wasn't. It sat solidly in place, no different than it had been before. Her roommate joined her a moment later, standing just off to the side, both of them looking at the chair as if it might do something again if they waited long enough. It didn't. Eventually, Marissa pushed it back into place. The movement felt small, almost meaningless, but it carried a weight that lingered after it was done. The room looked normal again, just as it always had, but the sense of control they had been trying to hold on to felt thinner than before. That night, neither of them stayed up late. They went through their routine quickly, moving from the living room to the kitchen and then to their bedrooms without much conversation, as if the less time they spent acknowledging the apartment, the easier it would be to exist in it. Sleep didn't come easily. At some point in the night, her roommate woke with the same feeling that had begun to surface more often, though this time it was clearer than before. It wasn't tied to a sound or a dream, and it didn't come gradually. It was immediate, sharp, and specific. It felt like someone was standing near the bed, not moving, not reaching, just there. She kept her eyes closed at first, holding onto that brief moment where you can still pretend you're not fully awake, where the feeling might dissolve if you don't acknowledge it. But the awareness didn't fade. It stayed in place, steady and quiet, as though it didn't need to announce itself to be understood. When she finally opened her eyes, the room looked empty. The outline of the door, the faint shape of the dresser, the shadows cast by the light from outside. Everything appeared exactly as it should have been. But the feeling lingered just long enough to leave an impression before it receded, not disappearing entirely, but pulling back in a way that felt deliberate. The next morning she mentioned it. She didn't frame it as anything dramatic, just asked if Marissa had been awake at any point during the night or if she had gotten up for something. Marissa shook her head. Then after a moment, she said quietly, "I woke up too." There wasn't much more to say. They didn't compare details or try to align the timing. The overlap was enough. It confirmed what both of them had already started to suspect, that whatever was happening in the apartment wasn't limited to one kind of experience and it wasn't tied to one person. It was shared. From that point on, the apartment felt different at night in a way that didn't fully lift during the day. It wasn't overwhelming, and it didn't fill every moment, but it was present in a way that made it difficult to ignore. The sense that something else occupied the space had moved beyond objects and sounds and into something more direct, something that didn't require physical evidence to be felt. A few days later, that shift became harder to dismiss. They were both in the living room again, sitting in their usual places when Marissa's attention moved suddenly toward the hallway leading to the bedroom. Her roommate noticed the change immediately, the way her posture shifted, the way her focus locked onto something that wasn't visible from where she sat. For a second, neither of them spoke. Then Marissa said, almost under her breath, "I thought you just walked back there." Her roommate shook her head without hesitation. "I didn't move." Marissa kept her eyes on the hallway for another moment, her expression steady, not confused, not searching, just certain in a way that didn't leave room for interpretation. "I saw someone go in," she said. "I thought it was you." The apartment was quiet. There was no sound from the hallway, no movement. Nothing that suggested anyone or anything had just passed through. The bedroom door remained exactly as it had been, slightly open, the darkness beyond it unchanged. But the certainty in Marissa's voice didn't match the emptiness of the space. And that was what stayed with them. Up until then, everything had been something they could separate from themselves. Objects that moved, sounds that echoed, moments that could be questioned. This was different. Now the apartment wasn't just shifting around them, and it was beginning to take shape. And once that happened, neither of them believed it would stay as distant as it had before. After that, they stopped treating the apartment like a place they could relax in. It didn't happen all at once, and it wasn't something either of them openly acknowledged, but the change showed up in small, consistent ways that were hard to ignore. They kept more lights on than they used to, even during the day, and at night they rarely separated unless they had to. If one of them moved into another room, the other would follow a few minutes later without mentioning it, as if being alone in the apartment had quietly become something to avoid rather than something to think about. They didn't talk about leaving, and breaking a lease wasn't simple, and neither of them was in a position where they could walk away from it without consequence. The cost alone made that decision feel unrealistic, and as long as nothing had crossed a line they couldn't manage, it was easier to convince themselves they could get through the remaining months by adjusting how they lived. For a few days, the apartment stayed quiet. Not normal, exactly, but still enough that it almost felt like things had settled. The sounds at night stopped and nothing obvious moved while they were watching. That kind of pause might have felt like relief earlier on, but now it carried a different weight. It felt like something had stepped back, and that made it harder to trust. The shift came late one evening in a way that didn't feel dramatic until it was already happening. They were both in the living room, not paying much attention to anything in particular, the television on low more for the background noise than anything else. The apartment had settled into that familiar quiet, the kind that had become harder to ignore over time, but neither of them was focused on it enough to expect anything to change. At first, it was just a difference in the light. The kitchen, which had been lit moments before, seemed darker, though neither of them had noticed the exact moment it changed. Marissa was the first to look up, her attention shifting toward the doorway, and her roommate followed a second later, both of them trying to place what felt off before either of them said anything. The light was off. That on its own wasn't enough. Lights get turned off without thinking, especially when you're moving between rooms. And for a second, it would have been easy to assume one of them had done it without remembering. But neither of them had left the living room, and the awareness of that settled in quickly enough that neither of them tried to explain it out loud. They stayed where they were, looking toward the kitchen, waiting without fully deciding to. Then came the sound. It wasn't sharp or sudden, and it didn't demand attention in the way something crashing would have. Instead, it came slowly, the quiet scrape of something moving across the kitchen floor, steady enough that it felt deliberate rather than accidental. The sound lasted only a few seconds, but it was long enough to remove any doubt about what they were hearing. Neither of them spoke. The apartment felt still again as soon as it stopped, the silence settling in around the space in a way that made the moment feel complete rather than interrupted. A second later, the kitchen light came back on. It didn't flicker or hesitate. It came on cleanly, the same way it would have if someone had flipped the switch, and that detail made it harder to dismiss than anything else. If it had struggled, if it had dimmed or sparked, they could have blamed the wiring, the age of the building, something mechanical that made sense. But it didn't. It behaved exactly the way it should have. They didn't get up to check. They stayed where they were, both aware that the moment had crossed into something neither of them could reasonably explain, and neither of them seemed interested in testing it any further. That night, they didn't go to bed right away. They stayed in the living room longer than usual, letting the television run, not really watching it, just using the sound to fill the space in a way that made the apartment feel less empty. When they finally did go to bed, it wasn't with any expectation that things had stopped. It was simply because there wasn't anything else to do. In the days that followed, nothing escalated. The apartment didn't get worse, but it didn't return to normal either. And that in-between state ended up shaping how they lived there more than anything else had. They adjusted their routines without talking about it, spent less time alone in separate rooms, and stopped leaving things out in the open the way they had before. They finished the lease, they didn't break it, and they didn't leave early. But by the time the last month came around, the apartment no longer felt like a place they lived so much as a place they were waiting to leave. Even then, they never found a way to explain what had been happening. And in the end, they stopped trying. Because whatever had been in that apartment had never needed to do anything extreme to make itself known. It only needed to be consistent. And that was enough.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino.
America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino, America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino, America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino, America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's Social Casino.
It's tax season, and by now, we're all a bit tired of numbers. But here's an important one you need to hear. $16 billion. That's how much money and refunds the IRS flagged for possible identity fraud. But it's not all grim news. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. If your identity is stolen, they'll fix it. Guaranteed. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Here's the truth. You could literally be adored by everyone and then come home and still get completely ignored by your own cat. It's classic cat behavior. But new Shiba Premium Puree is a lickable treat that changes all that. They're protein-rich, made with bone broth, and have the smooth, creamy texture cats go crazy for, especially when it's hand-fed. Yeah, it's more than a treat. It's a fast pass to favorite human status. So feed your cat Shiba and go from totally ignored to truly adored in just 12 days, guaranteed, or your money back. Learn more at Shiba.com.